same thing. Okay, do you understand? We're talking about the same one, but we're talking about roles for you to grow by. When the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted. What was Job's name? What did that mean? Persecuted. He persecuted the woman which had brought forth the man-child. That's the mother of Christianity, which means the womb that bare. It means God's children. Let's just put it that way for the sake of time, all right? Because that's what ultimately it comes down to. But why would he call him dragon? And which scripture should we go to? I'm going to peek. For dragon, we would go to Isaiah chapter 27, naturally. Naturally, Isaiah 27, everyone knows that. God makes things so simple that sometimes we read over them because we think we already understand that little simple thing. I love to see a girl on her knees before the Lord. I really do. I'm teasing. You all can't see, but there's a lady sitting on the floor up here, you know. It's all right. Hey, we're family. If she wants to do that, go ahead and kick your shoes off. You're in Arkansas. Be comfortable. It's all right. Chapter 27 for the dragon of the book of Isaiah. Verse 1. In that day the Lord, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish the Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Oh man, we're back to that serpent again. Piercing this time. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. Now he's crooked. All right, we got the serpent. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. There's that dragon. Do you have to be afraid of him? I think not. What is the Lord's sword? It's this word. It's the truth for you to lock into your mind and absorb it. Verse 2, in that day sing you unto her a vineyard of red wine. You know what wine symbolizes. You're going to find out tomorrow if you don't. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Are you nervous? Are you worried? You don't have to be. Our Father watches over his vineyard. And you're, what, are you a vine? Are you tied into the old main branch? What are you worried about the dragon for then? You shouldn't be, unless you don't know he's coming and that he will play that role as well as accuser and as the devil. Fury is not in me, who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle. What good would it do? All right? I would go through them. I would burn them together. For our Father is what? He is a consuming fire. Or let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Many of them will in the millennium, and that's what it's all about. But that does not mean you can falter just because the dragon might come your way. Now, naturally, Christ, while he was tempted, quoted from Psalms 91. I want to run back there just a moment. I'm not going to keep you very long, but this is very important because it's going to happen in and to this generation. Psalms 91, great psalm. Verse 7, let's start right there. It reads real good. 91. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. God protects his own. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Whew. A flaming fire, all right? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Now listen to it. This is important. This is how you defeat the dragon. Where is your habitation? Well, I live down here on Walnut Street. That's my habitation. Is it really? Your habitation had better be the Father. All right? Your spiritual habitation. I don't care what building you're in, whether it's this building, some service station, a Walmart, or whatever. You are behind the walls of Almighty God. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Why? Our dwelling is our Father. For he shall give his angels, this is the quote, his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Not least any time. All thy ways, and his ways are God's ways. You got the difference? They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And this is the good part. Thou, speaking of our Messiah, shall tread upon the lion and Adler, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. That's what you're going to do. You have the power to do it when you're in his word and when you have his word in your mind. And he's coming as the dragon, as the devil, and as Satan. Same person, different roles. Many of you, you say, well, boy, that's really confusing. Well, it isn't. I'm not going to call any names, but I'm looking at a man right now. He's a father. That's right. He's a father. And he has another role. He's a husband. And besides that, he's a doctor. And besides that, he's a singer. Do you understand where we're... This is not difficult. And it's not complicated. We're human beings, very natural, but God is natural also, and because he knows he must be in that way for we to understand. So don't you dare try to make something complicated out of these multi names. They're simply different duties of Satan. The old dragon, the devil, whatever you wish to call him. Okay, let's return to back to that old standby chapter 12 in the book of Revelation. And let's see if we have really focused and really done our homework here. He's coming down to you. What's he going to do? Well, we found out that he's got a bag full of tricks. He will not only accuse you, but he will tempt you. And he will also persecute you, as we learned in that 13th verse. Verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the face of the serpent. Did I read that? I thought I did. No, I guess I didn't. Well, anyway, here, what do we got? We got a serpent. And that's something. Say, call him Satan and the devil and the dragon and now the serpent. What's God trying to tell you? This really seemed so simple when we started, and I just wish you'd look at it. It's not difficult, is it? I still stay focused, and it won't be. What comes to your mind about the serpent? Well, he comes into the garden, he says, "Hi, doll. How you doing today, girl?" "Oh, well, you're all alone here under the apple tree." "Well, I love that. Looks more like a fig leaf to me." "Oh, I see there. Well, girl, let me tell you something. I can help you out. I want you to know that since the first time I saw you, that I've just really... I felt drawn to you. You are absolutely the most beautiful creature that I've ever seen in my life. you know. Now, Satan can put it on. I mean, he is a con artist. But you know what I'm talking about. Ah, it won't hurt you. Go ahead. Make my day. You know. But he's coming as the serpent. I'm sorry, ladies, but you better get ready. He's coming. And you had better keep Christ over your head, because I have yet to see a Shepherd's Chapel female member that isn't absolutely beautiful inside and out. All right? Thank God for them. I don't know what we would do without them, because the men won't do nothing. Oh, well. See, men, stay in good with the ladies. They do the cooking. I'm sorry. I shouldn't do this. This is so serious. I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm just having a ball, though. I really am having a good time. I hope you can tell that. Okay. But Paul probably gives us the best warning of all, and that was why I didn't finish a question from a gentleman over here, because I intended to use that very scripture in this. And I think all of you probably know what it is concerning the serpent. When Paul spoke in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's go there, because probably this will round out Revelations chapter 12, where we can all really get a handle on it, because nobody could teach like old Paul. He got right down, even though he spoke colloquial Greek, he got right down where the rubber meets the road. He instructed us in country, street, language. And Paul says, chapter 11, verse 1, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. In other words, I'm going to play the fool a moment, but I couldn't be any more serious than what I am right now, Paul says. And indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Now what is he? Godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now how do you lose your virginity? Before Christ returns in a spiritual sense, by falling off to something else. Falling off to someone else. That same old boy in the garden, he's coming. He's going to be cast out on the earth. It won't hurt. Touch it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Aren't you? You're big and strong and think for yourself, don't you? Don't you enjoy good things? Try it. Okay? He's coming. Verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means as the serpent, underline it, this is the role, and Paul couldn't make it any clearer. The serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So simple. Could Revelation chapter 12 be any simpler than what it is? But do you see how much we can miss if we don't focus and discipline our minds to analyze the Word of God? Why would God use all those names? You think he was just playing games? No, he was teaching you a hidden message to those that would have eyes to see and ears to hear. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, what's his concern? Another Jesus, a fake, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. That really doesn't translate. It's really like you go right along with it. And you know, have you ever known people like that? 10 people will say, oh, I understand that. And this person says, oh, okay. And they buy it, but they didn't understand it. Why? It didn't make common sense to them. They were wiser than all the other bunch that would buy a bag of worms, unless you were going fishing. But you understand what I'm saying? you can't go along with the crowd. You've got to think for yourself, especially if you're going to teach. You can't copy other people's sermons. You have to copy from God's Word. Stay focused on it. You know, I've had a lot of experience. Everything I teach is recorded and taped. And I don't know how many tapes I've done, but I have to find something new every time because it's all recorded and on the shelf. And I dare not, I wouldn't use anybody else's. I don't get quarterly saying, preachers, you will all preach on repentance this week. You know, so you've got to get in the Word and dig. And hey, you know what? That's healthy. That's good. You can't do better than being in God's Word. I kind of wish I hadn't brought myself into this, but when I think of you as teachers, and you are, you've got to think for yourself, and you've got to stay focused on the Word of God and not be sidetracked by the tempter, the devil, Satan, the accuser. He'll do it. He'll put you off on some other track. And you ain't going to be no virgin when Christ returns, spiritually. For I suppose, in verse 5, I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. He said, hey, you know what? He said, you got them super preachers with you, but I'm better than they are. I'm not behind them anyway. I know as much as they do. Paul did. Paul was a brilliant Hebrew scholar. He may not fare so good in Greek, but he was a fantastic Hebrew scholar. But though I be rude in speech, a little crude, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. We've proved ourselves over and over. And he goes ahead and says, go ahead and listen to them, those super preachers. I can pull the rug out from under them any time. That's the way he puts it. Back down to verse 9 and 10. And I want to go down to the verse 13, for such. Now, we better pick it up at 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that I can pull the rug out from those that would try to mislead you, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false prophets, false apostles rather, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They claim to be teachers of Christ. Well, you don't understand. I'm a reverend. Ooh, you know. I belong to a Christian church. We do a lot of things strange down at our Christian church. Well, if it's too much different than this, quite frankly, they're imposters. I don't like to talk against specific churches, and you won't hear me do that. Not seriously, you won't. I might joke sometime or something and mention a denomination, but hey, you're looking at an old boy that was, his parents divorced when he was 5, and my grandparents raised me, and during the summer months, I had to work for my clothes money, all right, if I wanted to wear any breeches. Without patches, and sometimes I did that. I jest on that. We were a pretty wealthy family, but we've always believed in making your kids work, all right? Earn what they get. So, but I was passed around. When I say wealthy, I don't mean rich. Do you know what wealthy is when you're farmers? When you got cornbread and sweet milk. That's what it is. You know, and plenty of turnip greens. Okay, but my relatives, my aunts and my uncles, and Lord only knows I had a bunch of them, I would kind of switch through the summer months, and we had Pentecostal, Methodist, Baptist, I mean the whole lineup, and honey, I've been there. You know, I've listened to all of them because I had to, because you did go to church, all right? There was no question about it. And I listen to all of them, and I have a love here in my heart for them. And that may surprise some of you. And I don't even know why I got on this subject. I honestly don't. I really don't. But I do love them. But be careful. That's what I'm saying. Stick to the Word, because we're in a very serious time. And you will be deceived if you have. Don't think it hasn't already started. I'm not saying he's been cast out, but his spirits have been working overtime. And his little spirits will work some negative junk in your mind. And oh, we're going to, you know, I'm a big man. I'm going to end this whole thing myself. Now, that's Reverend Leroy speaking there. Arkansas preacher, you know. Yeah. Yeah, we got it. Yeah. Man can't do any. It's going to happen this way, and only an idiot will try to plan or make his own plans. And when you see hate, it's straight out of the mouth of Satan. They've already taken that person. Verse 13, we got that. Okay. 14, and no marvel. Hey, that's no big deal. For Satan himself. Now we switch back to the other name. Satan is what? The accuser. The accuser himself is transformed into an angel of light. Who is the light of lights? It's Jesus Christ. Paul would teach this again. And you know, let your mind run there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, right? For Satan, and this time he's called the son of perdition, will stand in the holy place claiming to be God. That's the light. There's only one light. Otherwise, you've had your lights dimmed. Okay? There's only one light. Satan has all... You know who the angel of the Lord is? The angel of the Lord is the Lord. When you hear it written, the angel of the Lord appeared. Satan has always wanted to be that angel. So he's going to disguise himself. That's what the word is in the Greek. You can check it out for yourself rather than transform. You got a lot of people that will say, well, look at that. Even Satan's going to be converted. Hot ziggity-doo, hallelujah, glory to God. You know, amen, feel good, brother. Satan's going to be saved. You know, I don't know, God winks at ignorance? I don't know. I hope he does because I've been ignorant a long time, but thank God the Holy Spirit brings you out of it when you hear the truth, all right? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be disguised. Now, check it out for yourself. Don't just take my word for it, as I know many of you have checked it out. Transformed as the ministers of righteousness whose end shall be according to their works. And their works bring one thing, and that's death. But they're in church. Have you ever read anywhere where a church will save you? You may have heard some man say it, but there is nowhere that a church will save you. Who does the saving? Christ, that's what his name is, Savior. All right? Focus. Discipline yourself. All I want to do is go back to that 12th chapter of Revelation. Boy, that thing was loaded, wasn't it? Man, all kinds of goodies there telling us what we've got to look forward to. Isn't it exciting? I can't hardly wait. I'm ready. And bring him on. We're ready to go. All right, 15. And the serpent... This is important to you. Now, don't go to sleep on me and lose your focus right now. Have you ever seen a picture taken out of focus? Don't let your mind do that to you. I want you to get a picture of this, and I don't want it to be dim. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. The flood of what? Lies. Don't be carried away by a flood of lies. He's going to do it. It's going to make all the newspapers, all the church socials, big time in the old town tonight. 16, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Going back to that name again. I hope that after we finish this 12th chapter tonight, that you realize that Satan not only goes by these names, but many more. But these are his primary roles when he is cast out on this earth to tempt you, and this is what you must be prepared for. So when you're packing your backpack to go to battle, this is mental, all right, and spiritual. Place things in it that will help you combat these situations, because that's what you're going to be up against. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which, big word, right, which what? Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, that is to say, the truth. Isn't it amazing how God can just pack so much in one little chapter that you can just read over and over and over? Well, how did I miss that? It wasn't time. Just wasn't quite time that God wanted to bring it to your focus. But naturally, the time He brings it to your focus is when it's time to use it. We're in an interesting year, a fantastic year, a year that many perhaps will see the wrong side of the cloud, and some will see the bright side of the cloud. I hope that you're one of those that will see the bright side of the cloud and realize that we've got the victory. We're going to succeed. That's not even any doubt. And when you, if you thought as you sit way back out in Timbuktu that you were all alone, look around you. And you know something? There's only a pittance here to those that study with Shepherd's Chapel. Only a pittance. I doubt with 1%. If you think you're alone, you're mistaken. Because you in Christ make a majority. And God has a purpose for you. I suppose if anything that I would wish to do, it would be to alleviate all anxiety and fear and put the precious security of our refuge is that God is our dwelling place, and that in Him you have no fear. Oh, but I like to worry a lot. And you know, if I don't worry about it, it might not happen, or you know, if I don't worry, it might happen, and if you start worrying, you can bet it will happen. All right, be strong. That's what I'm saying. Don't be a doubter. Don't be a Thomas, a doubting Thomas. Be strong, for God has given it to you. I would ask you one question: what are you going to do with it? What has He given me? Well, He's given you authority and power if you'll pick it up. A lot of wisdom, how to overcome the world, and how to be a child of God. Use it wisely. Okay, I'm going to bypass that. Let's just go to the throne. I just feel like having a prayer. Father, thank You for Your truth, Father. Thank You for Your Word. Father, thank You for the touch of the Holy Spirit that brings knowledge into our minds as we focus and discipline ourselves in Thy Word and our worship. Thank You, Father, for Your truth. Amen, amen.